the West Coast, I always look forward to an opportunity coming to Langley, and glad it's been able to be arranged this time again. We value your prayers for the meetings down in Arlington. Brother Eric McCulloch and I commence, God willing, on Lord's Day in the tent there, and we value your prayers. I see some folk here who were with us in Fairview last night, and nice to see you tonight. We were talking about Timothy last evening in Fairview. We looked at Timothy, the man, the boy, the man, and I read concerning Paul's second letter, his last letter to Timothy, but we never got looking at it. Now, right through today, it was my exercise to look a little at Paul's letter to Timothy. And maybe we'll just bring in a very little about Timothy's background as we look into the letter. And I'm so glad that our brother Stanley spoke the way he has spoken, because it would seem as though both of us have been exercised along the same line of things, and I believe our messages would dovetail in. This is as it should be and will be if those who speak are guided by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want you to read with me then in 2 Timothy, and we're going to read a few verses through this book. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll commence reading at verse 4. Maybe we should read verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if you'll just go down chapter 2 very quickly with me, I want you to notice that Paul paints a picture of what he speaks about right at the end of the chapter in verse 24, the servant of the Lord. And notice it has a small s. I want you to notice some characteristics of the one that God would look upon as his servant. First of all, in verse 1, there's the relationship, a son. And then in verse 3 we have the soldier, and it's a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse number 5 we have the athlete. The man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Verse number 6 we have the husbandman that laboreth, and he must be partaker of the fruits. Verse number 15 we have the workman and the exhortation to Timothy to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then in verses 20 and 21, there is the thought of the vessel, and all these go up to make. Verse 24, the servant of the Lord. Then in chapter 3, the early verses of that chapter paints for us a picture of the last days and perilous times, and the character of men that would seek to assail the people of God. There's a picture of them. There's 20 signs that mark these men. And then in verse number 14 of that same chapter, Paul exhorts Timothy. He says, Timothy, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Then down to verse 5 of chapter 4. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of my ministry. And we are right there at the point where our brother Stanley finished his message. Now the Lord will bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. Last evening we, in Fairview, we thought of Timothy and we thought of three periods in his life. We thought of him as a young man, as he heard the gospel at Lystra and Derbe, and how that we believe the Apostle Paul saw Timothy led to Christ then. Subsequent verses would prove that Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. Then the second period in his life, chapter 16 of the Acts of the Apostles, the Apostle Paul comes back, and he finds young Timothy, finds him a disciple, well approved of the brethren, and him Paul would have to go with him. And now we come to the third period in Timothy's life, and we understand now that some 17 years has passed since Acts chapter 16. And now Timothy, a mature young man of round about 38 years of age, Paul is writing to him. It's a very personal letter. It's a letter that would touch our hearts because it is the last recorded letter from the pen of the Apostle Paul, writing to his dearly beloved son in the faith. And I want you to look with me tonight at this letter. I want you to think of some words of advice that the Apostle Paul gives to Timothy, and I believe advice that is very applicable to you and I, my brethren and sisters today, especially maybe to the young in the faith, words that would cause us to be fitted better to serve the Lord down here below. Now, I put each one of these sections that's before me under the heading of bees. And you know, bees have a twofold mission in life. Bees seem to just to love to sting people, and then bees bring sweetness. Now I'm praying, brethren and sisters, that these bees that we're going to give you tonight, there's some six of them, and I just want to give you a little outline of what's in my mind. I trust that these six bees will sting us into action, and that we'll get something sweet from them, something that will be an encouragement to our hearts, and rather like Luke, rather than Demas, that we will seek to faithfully serve the Lord and be a light shining in a dark place. Now, I want you first of all to look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, and Paul says to Timothy there, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Now over that, I have written my first B, and it is, Timothy, be concerned. Be concerned as to your exercise. We thought last evening that Timothy was rather a shy young man. Paul would say in 1 Timothy, as he wrote to him in verse 12 of chapter 4, he says, "Timothy, let no man despise thy youth." Then there's quite a set of things that Paul, just in a nutshell, exhorts Timothy to be. He says, "Be thou an example to the believers in word and conversation, that is, manner of life and charity, that is, love and spirit and faith and in purity." And then again he says in verse 14, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." I mention that because we'll be referring to it just in a minute or two. You know, Timothy was one of these young men that our brother Stanley has been speaking about, that Paul was pleased to take up and take with him. I think there were some 12 young men. Our brother Stanley has mentioned quite a few of them. 12 young men, at least, that Paul took up and sought to help along in the things of God. And I would say a hearty amen to what Stanley has said in relation not only to preaching brethren, taking young men with them. But you know, it's nice to see in God's assembly when brethren are getting older to encourage the young men on in the things of God. Young men that are desirous of being a help to the people of God in the local assembly. We have a lovely example of this if we have time to enlarge on it for you tonight. You remember the Levites. You remember that from a month old they were reared for God for the service of carrying along the tabernacle in the wilderness. Then you remember at 25 they were brought into the work of carrying the tabernacle. They were brought in to share in the service. But it wasn't, they had 5 years experience in this. And it wasn't until they were 30 that they took upon themselves the heavy load of, and the responsibility of carrying through the tabernacle. And then when they became 50, it wasn't now that they were on the shelf, not at all. But they changed in their service for God. No longer were they carrying heavy burdens, but again that they were, well, I shouldn't say again because they were in a different position now. It would seem from the reading of the book of Numbers in chapter 8 that at this time they went into a sort of an advisory capacity. They had the experience behind them, but they did not now have the physical stamina to go ahead with the work. But they had the experience so that they could stand back and encourage the young men that were coming on. Happy is the assembly when brethren see the wisdom of this and watch out for young men desirous of the things of God and seek to encourage them and little by little give them responsibility until they themselves are carrying the heavy burden. And so now the Apostle Paul wants to encourage Timothy in this direction. And he says, Timothy, he says, be concerned as to your exercise. He says, stir up the gift of God that is in thee. Now I conclude from this, and you don't need to be a theologian to do it. I conclude that he had a gift and Paul was discerning enough to see that here was a young man and he had ability. I know in chapter 4 when we consider that, he says to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. But I believe along with every evangelist, Timothy had the responsibility of teaching the things of God. And my brethren, I don't care who the evangelist is. He might not be the great theologian, but he should have the ability at least to teach those that are saved the divine principles laid down for us in New Testament scripture. The disciples, as they were going ahead, and they weren't all shining lights like Luke, no. They were some of them ordinary fishermen. But you remember the divine commission was to preach the gospel and then teach them to observe all things. And could I say to my brethren, never find yourself, my brother, in a place where you cannot declare the whole counsel of God. If you find yourself there, you are going to be out of the will of God. And so here is Paul, and he exhorts Timothy. He says, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in thee. Someone has painted the picture that it's the porridge pot, like the porridge pot, and then you stir it to get up the very best from the bottom of the pot so that all can be benefited thereby. My brother, my sister, young brother, could I exhort you? You know, the Lord has given you a gift. My dear sister, the Lord has given you a gift, but you can be very sure that that gift that God has given you is never going to run contrary to His word. So we'll never find you up on this platform. We'll never find you taking a public place. But there's a work for godly sisters. You remember in connection with the tabernacle, and it says that the godly sisters, they did spin with their hands, lightly spun at home, and then brought to the door of the tabernacle the things that they had spun. You remember it was those godly women that sacrificed their looking glasses. Now, my brethren, please don't try to get a slam at the sisters because of their looking glasses, because it's not in the picture at all. These looking glasses were things that they legitimately had. They were copper mirrors. But they sacrificed the thing that they could have held on to so that the laver could be made and so that the Lord could be glorified in the tabernacle. And there's many a dear sister, and she sacrifices so that the Lord could be glorified. So then, here we have Timothy, and Timothy has a gift from God, and Paul is spiritual enough to recognize this, and he says to Timothy, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in thee. My dear young brother, you get before God, and be exercised as to what the Lord would have you do. I'm not suggesting maybe that you would ever be up here. Maybe you would. Maybe the Lord has given you an ability to do that. But you need to stir up your gift. And my dear brethren, those who are older, watch the young men. And as you see a gift developing, encourage that gift to the glory of the Lord. And then in verse number 13 of chapter 1 again, he says, Timothy, he says, verse number 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. In other words, now Timothy, be courageous as to your testimony. Be concerned as to your exercise. Now Timothy, be courageous as to your testimony. And he says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. In other words, Timothy, don't be ashamed to recognize the one that died on the cross to save you, to recognize him as Lord. And then again he says, Timothy, and don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. But then, rather than the negative, he brings in the positive. But he says, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. I haven't time to develop that, but it's a very interesting subject as one would consider the afflictions of the gospel. That's not afflictions because of our own wrongdoing, but it's afflictions in relation to the testimony. And those that live godly, they're going to endure afflictions. And my young sister, my young brother, if you're going out to hold up to those at school, to those around you, the person of the Lord Jesus, if you're not going to be ashamed of him, there's no doubt at all, you're going to have afflictions. Now then, in verse number 13, he gives him another B. And he says, Timothy, I want you to be consistent as to the teaching. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now I want to leave Timothy for a moment, and I want to speak to my elder brethren. You know, I never read this portion, but I try to picture the Apostle Paul. As I'm reading, I like to get a picture in my mind of what I'm reading. And you know, I've never failed to get the same picture here. I've seen that man of God, maybe not so old in years, but battered out in the service of the Lord, old before his time. And I see him yonder with his quill, and he's writing lightly with a trembling hand his last recorded letter. He's writing to Timothy. And as he writes, as he pens the words, Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love. I can see Paul, the aged, as he's described, aged before his time. And he stops and he lifts his heart to God. What does he say? He says, thank God I was faithful in the teaching of God. You see, days are getting dark. And it would seem that Timothy is a very special man in Paul's mind as to being the custodian of the truth. And he says to Timothy now, he says, the things that thou hast heard of me in faith and love. Oh, thank God for a faithful man like the Apostle Paul. My brethren, we can get a lesson here, can't we? We can get a lesson in being faithful, in committing to others the truth of God. Missionaries are finding this on the field today. missionaries in areas that I know down in the West Indies. They have a deep exercise in teaching the young men and getting the truth of God into them, because the day may come when they are going to have to leave, and those West Indian brethren are going to be responsible for the carrying on of the truth of God as revealed to them. My brethren, I believe this is a sad lack among our assemblies today. Young folk not being consistently taught the truth of God. Very often it's just dependent on visiting preachers, ministers of the world, word evangelists coming along. But my brethren, could I humbly submit to you, that is not enough. One of the qualifications of an elder is that he's apt to teach, not a platform ability. I'm not suggesting that. But when the young folk come, that elder brother is able to sit down beside them and listen to what they say and not go and gossip to other people about their confidences, you know. Very often, not even to one's own wife. Young people are crying out, my brethren and sisters, for godly men that they can go to and pour out their hearts. More and more I've had them coming to me, and I've had confidences that I would sacrifice my right arm for, rather than betray the confidence that's been given me. Up to teach. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love. You know, very often we blame our young folk, and we're sorry when it happens. We blame them because they go other places. My brethren, does the blame not lie at our own doors? Is it not that very often? Now, I'm not picking out Langley. God knows I'm speaking generally. And if it applies in Langley, may the Lord help you to put it right. My dear brethren in Christ, is it not that they're slipping away because they haven't been taught the truth of God? Do you know, if you would take a census of the young folk, and I'm not speaking critically because I love young folk, and my ministry usually is geared to try and help them. But I would say, and don't be surprised at the figure that I coach it, I would say more than 50% being in God's assembly. You think that went over, and you try it out if you wish. Our young folk are desirous of the truth of God, and I believe if they got hold of it, as it was drilled into some of us when we were young in the faith, when the testing time comes, they're not going to let it go so soon. Hold fast the form of sound words, and the Apostle Paul said, the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love. And my brethren, there are twins that you can't divide. The Siamese twins, if you like. Faith. He was faithful in preaching the truth of God, and he preached them in love. It was a solid message, but he gave it in love. It wasn't just a sloppy business. And if I know young folk, and I know them pretty well, if you give them the truth of God and love, they're going to take. Even since I came to the West Coast this time, quite a number of young folk have come to me and said, thank you. I needed that tonight. It was a blessing to me. And when I hear that, I never cease to say, thank God that I've been a help to some young person. Be courageous as to your testimony. Be consistent as to the teaching. Hold fast. Young Christian, you're going to have to do that. You know, we're living in a day when we believe that very soon the Lord Jesus is coming. But it's verily possible before he does come that you and I are going to have to stand up and be confident. The religious world is getting into the church. And the line of demarcation is very slight. You and I need to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. Knowing and believing the truth of God, we
are going to have to hold it fast. Hold fast the form of sound words. Be consistent as to your teacher.
Then be capable in your service, and I've already suggested that to you, and I'm going to leave it because the time has come. Be capable as to your service, and there is a sevenfold picture of God's servant, and remember, I said it was with a capital, with a small s, not a capital one. As a son, there you have the relationship necessary for service. As a soldier, there you have the dedication, and Paul talks about a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There you have the dedication as to service. As an athlete in verse 5, and there you have the exercise and the laying aside of every weight that we might run with patience the race that is set before us. Young Christian, God has a race for you. He has a path. He has a goal ahead. A goal in your life that will glorify God. Don't let any of the trammels of earth keep you back from reaching God's purpose for your life. I know, brethren, I know a dear brother, and he's very recently gone to be with the Lord. He and I were boys together. He was a little bit older than me. But as a young Christian, he was a big help to me. And we prayed and shed tears in the early days about serving God. The day came when I went to the West Indies, a few years back when I came home on furlough. Norman put his arm around my shoulder, and the tears fell. He said, Jack. Oh yes, he was an elder in God's assembly. Sure he was. But he had missed God's Christian, the devil can never get your soul, but he wants to blast your life for God. And I'm not necessarily now, although it's a danger, thinking of sin or moral sin that would shut your mouth. I'm thinking of the young believer missing the way. And you know, there's an awful danger that you and I would get second best. God has a best for you, young brother, young sister. Don't be satisfied with the second best. And listen, the second best isn't a mighty dollar. I can well assure you of that. That's the third or the fourth best. You make sure that you get the very best for God and lay aside everything. Sin that so easily would beset you, that you might run with patience the race that is set before you. As an athlete, your exercise. As a husband, man, your responsibility as a workman. Verse number 15, ability. And to be a workman that can rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to have to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Get your perspectives right. Approved unto God. Now, I wouldn't say approved unto God and forget the brethren. No, because I'll tell you this. If you're approved unto God, you'll be likely approved of your brethren as well. If your brethren are spiritual men, the elders in the assembly, and I believe in Langley they are, thank God for that. If you're approved unto God, you're going to please your brethren as well. God never countenances freelancers in God's assembly. Approved unto God, a workman, a vessel. And there we have purity. A vessel, clean, fit for the master's use. And then, those six that go up to make what God expects the believer to be, a servant of Jesus Christ. Be counseled as to your continuance. And we read, concerning the Paul's letter to Timothy, in the light of the early verses of chapter 3, he says, Timothy, but continue thou. I was going to speak on some that did continue, but time doesn't permit, only to mention that Hannah, she continued to pray. She had the work of the Lord in view.